the district superintendent called me. He said, hey, we want to come down and help. How can we help? Well, we have a lot of demolition to do. We had about six churches that we had to demo before we could rebuild. And so we need people just to swing a sledgehammer, to use a jackhammer, to use a torch. It was kind of fun getting new tools and being able to do some of that. And yeah, anyways. But we were doing a lot of work, and we needed hands. We needed muscle. And so this district brought down about 10 guys, and they came, and all they did for a week was demolition. And then they came back and they said, hey, we want to come back again. That first time, one of the ministries helped support and give money for them to come because they come from this poor area. But the second time we said, hey, how about you guys work to raise money and see how many people we can get? Even if you bring two people that you raise your own money for, that'll be a huge blessing. And that'll be great that you guys can participate in missions in this way. They said, okay, we could do that. They brought 18 people, and they raised about 95% of the funds that they needed to come down. It's about a full day's drive from La Huasteca to Oaxaca. And we were talking to some of the people afterwards, and he said, you know, my job is to cut down trees. Oh, awesome. He said, in order to come on this trip, I had to cut down four extra trees to be able to pay my way to come down to serve. And he was so happy. Because he figured out a way that he could cover his own expenses. The same district that's one of the poorer districts in Mexico, they said, you know, we want to do this again. I was like, great. Well, we don't have money. We don't have demo stuff. So if you guys want to go, we need you to raise some money to help buy materials. So they said, okay, we could do that. So they're working on right now raising about $1,500 to go to another part of Mexico to help build and help do ministry, as they have caught this vision of what missions can be and how they can participate in it. And you know what? Just because they're from this poor part of Mexico, that doesn't mean that God's not the God of their bank accounts. You know, the same God that helps provide for other people also helps provide for them. And they're going and they're serving because God is calling them to serve. And so out of this earthquake, we've seen this district, these churches move. We've also seen volunteers come out of this. We have volunteers that have been working with us since this earthquake. We have two civil engineers that they could be looking for jobs that pay nice, and they could be saving money for a car and a house and starting their family and stuff. But they said, you know what, we're going to put this on hold. First, they told me for a couple months, and now it's been 2 years. And they said, you know, we want to keep serving. And so one of those volunteers, he's in Guatemala right now. He, after serving with us for about a year and a half, he said, hey, I want to keep doing this, and God's calling me to do something more. So he went to Guatemala for a couple weeks, and he may be going there for a year or more as God's calling him into missions, as God's calling him to say, hey, this preparation, the schooling that I sent you to, yeah, I want you to use that for the kingdom. And it's neat to see how these kids are responding to say, hey, I want to serve. I've got something to offer. We have been blessed through these 10 years of serving to watch how God continues to answer the call. God continues to provide, and God continues to call missionaries and churches into service. And that has been a true blessing. And so we thank you for participating in that with us.
As I was listening to Stephen talk about the things we've seen even over the last 2 years, I just couldn't help but think about the way God has abundantly answered our prayers. Because we were, when we first moved to Mexico, one of our biggest observations was this country is massive, and there are so many churches, and there's so much need, and how could anything that we do possibly make any effect in this country? And yet, when we talk about the way God has responded and the way God has raised up young leaders from within the church and mobilized them, and we've gotten to be a part of that, and that has been such a joy for us. And so as we're moving back to the U.S., in some ways we're excited about where this the space that we're leaving, how God is going to fill that, because he's raised up this team of 4 or 5 solid full-time volunteers who are ready to move forward. They were in earthquake training, and God has them ready to do more in the kingdom. So as we step out, we know that God is going to help them to move forward and serve in this ministry. And so it's sad and it's hard for us to leave. It's hard to say goodbye because God has provided a family for us in Mexico. He's provided a place for us to serve. And yet we know that we got to fulfill a part, be a part, but it's God's plan and it's God's ministry, and he doesn't have a plan to let it fail from now. So we know and we're confident as we transition to living here in our country, as we get to look forward into what ministry is going to look like for us here, we know that God is going to continue to raise up these leaders that he's already bringing forward. We're really proud of the people that we've gotten to work beside, and we're excited to see where God moves them in the future as they continue to respond. We're going to read today from Colossians, starting in chapter 1, verse 9. Give you just a sec. Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I was looking at your theme verse for this month, talking about God taking from us a heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh that's able to answer him, that's able to hear him. And I was thinking about that radical heart transplant, that the only way a person could live would be with a heart of flesh, right? If you have a heart of stone, you are dead by definition. But once God changes that, once he transforms that, the thing that a person has in front of them is life, right? And so this passage, I when I was thinking about the Christian life, I was thinking about this passage because in some ways it's the whole Christian experience in like 6 verses. It's salvation and growth and doing good works and bearing fruit and getting to heaven all in one little, it's like all of it right in this one little passage. And when Paul starts talking about the knowledge of God's will, because Paul's saying, this is what I hope for you. You new little church, new believers, this is my prayer for you. That you will start being filled up with the knowledge of God's will. But we know that when we think about what Paul writes in all of his other letters, he's not talking about just having something in our heads. He's not saying, I hope that you memorize 10 verses this week. Or I hope that you can explain this theological position by the end of the year. That's not Paul's prayer for his people. He says, I want you to know God, to be filled completely. So being filled up from the bottom to the top is this complete change. He says, I want you to be able to move in rhythm with the Spirit. I want you to know God. That's his first prayer for his people is, I want you to know him. And what that's going to lead to is a life worthy of the Lord, that we can please him. This is the same person who talks about being crucified with Christ. All these death images always then lead us to these life images. I want to kill all those things that are broken and twisted and terrible so that you can live this life that God intended you to live. I'm reading right now a book by C.S. Lewis, Screwtape. Yeah. And there's one line in there that I really like, but one line that says that when a person is wholly God's, they will be more themselves than ever before. And sometimes we get this image like God's going to turn me into this unrecognizable, weird person that I've never met before, and we're scared of who that person will be. But that's not God's purpose for us. What he says, I see all these Child of God stickers. I'm really pumped about that because it's, hey, you guys are awake. but I'm pumped about that because what God came to do was to remove all these things, these warped and broken and ugly things that sin did to the human soul. And God says, I want to take that away from you and turn you into the person I meant you to be. You are my kid, and I created you with such incredible talents and incredible skills, and yet the world has turned it into this ugly thing. I want to change that about you. I want to get rid of that. And so he says that in Scripture that he wants to give us life. And sometimes one of the words we use when we talk about the Christian life is we talk about a holy life. But we get stuck sometimes in these pictures of holy things that you see in paintings or poems or something. And you think about like a gentle light, right? There might be flowers, you know, it's very peaceful. You probably have to sit very quietly. There might be like the sound of gentle running water, and that's a holy thing, right? But that's really not particularly scriptural. Because the holy life is a life that is lived, a life that changes and moves and grows. The scripture says that we're to be bearing fruit. We're to be growing in the knowledge of God. We're to be strengthened in all power so that you might have great endurance. It's a robust, powerful faith that Paul is describing. It's the beginning of an inkling of who God created all of us to be. People that are free to say yes to what he's called us to. The Christian response is all about moving forward into what God tells us to do. And we hear that because we're so deeply rooted, we're so in tune with where God is leading us. Because he's replaced our hearts and given us hearts that can listen to him. Scripture says that we are to bear fruit and grow. And so now we've got a picture of a seed. If something's bearing fruit, obviously it's a plant of some variety. Now we're going to imagine a plant that my mom planted, not that I planted, because I killed our cactuses before we left Mexico. I must confess that I cannot even keep a cactus alive. You know my shame. But let's imagine that mom plants a seed and it's small and it's unimpressive and it's buried deep in the dark. And slowly, maybe without even almost noticing the change, a tiny little spear appears out of the dirt. And then a little time passes and a little more care and a little more fertilizer. And the plant is strong enough to have a bloom on it. It can hold it up, because if the little tiny spear had a bloom, it would have just fallen over. And then the plant's a little stronger after that, and it's strong enough to hold the fruit that comes after the bloom. And that's what our life is. When we do good things, when we serve, and when we act, and when we move, it's the fruit that's hanging on this life that God has grown up inside of us. And so what an immature perspective of the Christian life is that a Christian life is a life that does all of these things.
But really the Christian life is growing and moving, and the fruit, the thing at the end, is the evidence of everything that God has already done inside of us. It's the natural outpouring. A healthy plant can't help but have flowers, and it can't help but have fruit. There's no other way for a healthy plant. If it's growing in my house, it's not healthy and it dies because there's something wrong with it and someone's not taking care of it. But if it's healthy, it's going to show that. And that's our lives too. We get to respond, and it's normal, and it's joyful, and it's natural. And if we're saying, I don't want to respond, I don't want to do that thing, then it shows that there's a problem before. Our goal is not to act right. Our goal is to be so connected with God that we can hear what he calls us to do, and that we can pray that he would give us the power to say yes. Sometimes we can say, God, I hear what you're telling me, and I don't really want to do that. But if we're in tune with what God is doing, we can also pray that he'll fill us with his glorious might. This scripture says that you will be strengthened according to his glorious might, because we don't have to live the Christian life on our own power. You don't have to find the motivation, because God says, I came to do that for you. I'll help you respond to me. Just be connected to me. One of the coolest things about the Christian life, I think, is in verse 12, where it says that we're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Because a little further down it says, he saved us from the dominion of darkness, and now we're in the kingdom of light. But he qualified us to share in the inheritance. Now, if anyone is being honest, you know that none of us are qualified on our own. I'm not good enough. I would never be good enough. I could never be good enough on my own. The only way I'm qualified is because God has done this incredible transformative work in my life. And I know he has the power to do that in your life as well. But then once he has done it, you can know, you can be confident that we are qualified for this. And when we're talking about the inheritance he has for us, eternity with him, I like to think of heaven and kind of imagine what heaven will be like. And I don't think it's going to be that like flowers and gentle light and silence. I like to imagine heaven as the end of a mission trip. We do a lot of mission trips with a lot of people because that's a big part of what we've done for the last 10 years. And so if we think of life, the Christian life in particular, as a mission trip, or maybe a big old church work day if you haven't gone on a mission trip. But it's always hot on a mission trip. I feel like it's some sort of overarching rule that it has to be 104 on every mission trip, no matter where you are or what you're doing. And everybody works together, but sometimes there's a little bit of confusion about what you're supposed to be doing all the time. Maybe you catch the odd skin condition, maybe a bit of an amoeba. Things don't always go perfect, but usually it's pretty fun, right? Like in the end, you're doing pretty good together, and that's our Christian life. We're all working together, we're moving forward, but there are some bumps and issues along the way that you have to kind of overcome. But then heaven is the bonfire at the end. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? That bonfire where everybody has taken a shower, praise the Lord, and you get your bag chair. Heaven's going to have the ones with the cup holders in them. Huh? And the footrest? I don't like the footrest. It gets in the way. But there's that sense when we're all gathered together after we've accomplished something meaningful together, and now we get to celebrate. And you know when everybody starts laughing at all these shared memories and you're just having fun, and then somebody starts to hum and suddenly you're singing something beautiful, because everything always sounds more beautiful around a fire. And someone always manages to harmonize, even if you're not singers. And there's that deep sense of rightness of things, that God is present, that He is there. He has qualified us for this inheritance. He has qualified us for spot around that heavenly bonfire. He says, I've called you, I've changed you, I'll fill you with the power to do it, and then I will let you celebrate with my people. I will let you be with me. And I would challenge you to live a life that moves towards that. And if your Christian life has started to feel like a burden, if doing what God says that we need to do has started to feel too hard, then I'd encourage you to move back a little bit and go back to the source, because it's God. He said, I will change you. I will transform you. Keep reading His word. Stay with His people and reach out to Him and say, I don't have the power to do what you want me to do. I don't have the power to be who you're calling me to be. But we don't have to. He has it already. He's already made all of the sacrifice. He's already done all of the work. So I would challenge you to live a life worthy of God. Seek to please Him, because He is a good God, and He has given each of us a place in His kingdom. He's qualified you, and He's qualified me for the inheritance that we didn't earn, we don't deserve, and yet He says that He'll take us there. He'll let us do that. This is the life that's worth living. This is the life that has purpose and a point at the end. And if we get distracted from it, we find ourselves doing work and effort that has no real point at the end. If you've gotten distracted from this, come back to what He's called you to do. And I challenge you to respond and say yes to what it is He's calling you to. Whether it's something small, whether it's repentance, whether it's a big action, if He's asking you to move to another country, whatever it is, wherever it is, I challenge you to say yes, because He is a good God, and He has given us His incredible strength. Outside of Christ, we have no identity, we have no purpose, but in Him, we are inheritors, we are children of God. And it is my honor and my pleasure to serve in this kingdom with you, to be a part of it with you. Look around and look at everybody else who's going to be around that bonfire in heaven. Encourage one another and challenge one another to say yes and respond to what God is calling you to do.
Let's pray. Lord, your word today has come and watered our lives. And I know, Lord, in this sanctuary, there are some dry and there's some parched land. And Lord, I pray that they would take the nourishment that they have from you. And then, Lord, for those that are trying to apply and to work this, Lord, thank you for the reminder that it's never just in our effort. We're just not trying to be better, not just trying to do more. We want to be who we are in you. We want the power of the life-giving Spirit to spring up fresh water, fresh refreshment into our lives and out into a world that so desperately needs you. Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we would walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling and bearing fruit in every respect. And Lord, thank you for the example you set for us today that are living out your word. I know with Stephen and Ann and with Micah and Elizabeth and Levi, there's some ache in their heart because they're having to say goodbye for now to things that have been just a part of their life and help them form and dreams and plans for the future. But Lord, thank you for the joy that they have in following you. And Lord, that this is your work, so they can entrust all of their labors to you. I pray that you would grant them favor. I pray that you bring people upon their life that will speak into them spiritually and be an encouragement to them. I pray, Lord, that there would be relationships that would be rekindled here with this church family that would encourage them and pray for them on a regular basis. In all things, Lord. Lord, whenever Stephen and Ann and their family come back, may they have reason to give glory for God for the new people that are raising up, for the life-giving spirit that is emerging out of those that have found the hope that is in Christ. Lord, we want to share your love with everyone. Thank you that you provided everything that we need and the life inside in order to do that. We give you honor and praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen.